on CBS Sports Radio.
That is true. I am Jim Rome. We are live in Southern California, and this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up in about 15 minutes, right here in studio, an outfielder for the LA Angels, Brian Goodwin. You have your number. You know where to find me on Twitter. You know how to hit us up with an email. You know that drill completely. You know Alvy's 4 days that were are coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, I found my guy. We are joined by a senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. He is the host of Post It Up with Chris Haynes, that podcast. He is the pride of Fresno, friend of the program. My guest is Chris Haynes. Chris, good to have you back. How are you?
Always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. All right, so you have this really, really good piece that you did with Damian Lillard last week that I want to get to in a minute. But what does it tell you, Chris, about the Blazers as a team that they can beat Denver on the road in a game where Damian really does not dominate?
Yeah, I didn't know if that was possible, to be honest with you. For the most part, Damian Lillard has carried the Blazers this postseason, just putting up incredible numbers, and he's really stepped up his play from the regular season. And so I thought that, you know, that was the key to success with this team. But definitely with them, the role players stepping up, you got Mo Harkless, Aminu, and his character has been playing phenomenal as well. You got those guys producing, and if they're playing solid defense, I think they prove themselves that, you know, they're still a quality team if Damian Lillard's offense is not as on as we've been accustomed to in his playoffs. And so if that can continue, if that confidence continues to grow, I think this is going to be a long series. And I know you're not asking me now, but I really think all of these, four of these series has the potential to go the distance. So I'm looking forward to what the rest of the playoffs has in store.
Chris Haynes joining us. I think this definitely is going to be a long series. Now, there have been so many different storylines in this year's playoffs, but I'm not sure there's one that's more fascinating to me than what Lillard is doing both as a player and a leader. There's this great moment in your piece where Lillard had a few people over to watch game four of the Jazz and the Rockets, and he's sitting there quietly eating, and then he says, quote, "I'm getting rid of these mother bleepers tomorrow." What did you make of that statement, Chris?
I would just sit back. I was just in awe of his confidence level. And, you know, I want to give a little background to how that story came
sure.
about real quick, if I can.
Sure.
I had to take a red eye after that game, which was Tuesday, game five, a red eye at 12:30 a.m. And so I knew I wasn't going to be able to get Dame. Dame promised me some time. So I knew I wasn't going to get Dame after the game. So I went to his house the night before and, you know, spent some time with him. And I was just in awe with the confidence level of him. And he called game five from the get-go. So you take it a couple of days back. So after game three, when OKC won and, you know, Russell Westbrook was, you know, pounding his chest, you know, talking mess, and Dennis Schroeder was mimicking the Dame time motion, Paul George did the dunk at the end when they were already up by 12. And so I hit Dame up that day after game three when Portland was up 2-1. And I said, hey, I only can cover one of the next two games, game four, game five. I said, which one do you think I should come out to? And he told me then, he was like, look, come to game five for the closeout. He said, spend Easter with your family. Game four would have been on Easter. And so, man, this guy, like, he don't get me wrong, he felt a little disrespectful about what Westbrook and the Thunder did throughout the series, but he kept it composed, and I tried to share that in the story and just the way he was talking. He was composed. He showed great leadership, but at the same time, he showed how much it ticked them off, and he wanted to, you know, like you said in the story, get them MFs out, and, you know, he lived up to his word.
Chris Haynes joining us. I'm glad you shared that story. So just staying on that one point, you know, part of the thinking in the OKC series was that was going to be a battle between Westbrook and Damian Lillard, and that it was about Lillard proving that he was the better player. But from your conversations with him, did Lillard see it that way? How did he approach it?
Well, he did. Look, I'm not going to say he didn't embrace the challenge. He did. Dame always feels like he's one of the top two or three point guards in the league. So whenever his counterpart is one of those guys that people mentioned, then he's going to, you know, rev it up a little bit more. But the thing with him is, you know, he told me that in the story. He's like, look, I wanted to dominate my matchup, but I wasn't going to come down and try to match Russ shot for shot. You know, that wasn't the plan. And as you've seen, like, there was at times where, you know, Dame, he'll engage in some words with Russ, and then Russ will come down and try to take him in the post, shoot some shots, and kind of, you know, and shots like that kind of got OKC out of rhythm, you know, out of tune. And so he kind of played into that. He used that tactic to get into the mindset of Russ. And look, I didn't know if I thought that he would dominate this matchup. Obviously, I felt like, you know, these are both marquee point guards. We're going to see a good battle between the two, but I didn't think he was going to obliterate Russell Westbrook the way he did and expose him the way he did. And it was a mind game, Jim. It was a mind tactic as well as the on-court performance, man. And he really let loose, you know, in the story to me, just about how he felt. You know, people don't see Dame in that light. You know, I have a relationship with him to where, you know, he felt relaxed and sharing, you know, how he really felt in really candid detail. So I thank you for bringing that up, because he was really – I was shocked that he was willing to go on record saying that. And so it just produced – it was great content, but it was even greater performance in Game 5, and it just matched the show. And, you know, I thank him for doing that at that time.
Really good content. Chris Haynes joining us. All right, so shift over to Golden State. After Game 2, Kevin Durant told you, Chris, quote, "This is where this bleep is fun. This is when it's serious, and I'm just embracing it. I'm just having so much fun right now. The time of year is what I'm geared for, hooping at a high level, you know, et cetera, et cetera." So for stretches of the regular season, he didn't seem like he was having that much fun. Is it just a matter of the stakes being higher, or did something else change for him?
Well, I think it's a couple things. Obviously, you know, he told me in a piece, he's like, look, during the regular season, you guys want to come and ask us about, you know, what's wrong with us. If we lose to the Phoenix Suns or some team we should beat, you guys want to ask what's wrong with us. You know, are we still the same Golden State Warriors team? And he said, look, 82-game regular season, we don't prepare in the manner that we prepare in the postseason. He said they don't do a ton of film study on other teams because you don't have a lot of time and days to prepare. And during the regular season, it's all about yourself. It's all about, you know, trying to grow and facilitate the offense. And that's what in the playoffs, the preparation shifts to game plan for the team, individual assignments, to where you can just gear and set for that. And he's like, Now I think Kyrie Irving said it, you know, like last month, something like that, was like, I can't wait till the playoff starts. Like, that's where I really make my money. And so Kevin Durant, you know, he's basically echoing those sentiments and saying that, you know, this is when the games matter. This is when my team needs me. Like, I can coast a little bit during the regular season, but now I'm having so much fun. The offense is going through him now, which is a change, you know, since he's arrived, you know, in Golden State. That was hardly the case until the finals. I can't remember the team relying so heavily on him before they got to the finals. And so this is all new, and it's fun for him. He's dominating on the display. You know, people are talking about he's the best player in the game now. He loves all that. He loves what's happening. And he said it's due to it just being the postseason right now, and that's winning time.
Not only that, but it does go back to him reminding everybody that he was him in that Clippers series, and looks like a different guy since then. Now, Chris, after Game 1, the Rockets were really angry about the officiating. After Game 2, they lost again. Now they're down 0-2. So how much of that, in your mind, is about the officiating, and how much of that is about Golden State just being better?
Well, look, I don't want to just dismiss the Houston Rockets' claims. So they do felt like they were on the wrong end of some calls or no calls dating back to last postseason. But look, I will say this, man, the officiating is not going to win or lose the series. And, you know, after the first game, you know, for 24 hours, that was the talk on officials. And I don't know if that was too much talk for the Rockets, where they paid too much attention to who was going to be the officials on assignment for game two. I don't know. But when you're playing against the Warriors, Jim, you got to focus on them. You know, it's hard enough focusing on their starting five, and then you're trying to focus on eight, including three of the officials. So, you know, I just think, you know, it's better for everybody just to, you know, to focus on the game, talk about the game, try to make adjustments that way. Because if you're concerning yourself with eight people rather than five, I think you're doing yourself a disservice even before the ball tips. So, but well, all that said, I think Houston, they have a great home court advantage. They play well at home. I think they can still turn this series, and this series still have the potential to go the distance as well. I don't think we should overreact over two games, but I just think if the focus is going to be on, the officiating, who's officiating, or what their record of calls are when they officiate one of our games. If that's the concern, and if that's being made public, and if the players are talking about this, that shows that they're worried about three other competitors other than the five they should be worried about. So, I think they can get it done, but they have to stop all the official talk.
Chris Haynes, my guest. Chris, one thing before you go. You had DeMarcus Cousins on your podcast about a month back. When you spoke with him, what was your sense as to how he was feeling about where he is at this point of his career?
He was at a great he was at a great place in life, Jim, and that's what's really sad. I had him on, I want to say, maybe a week and a half before he went down with his injury, and he was in a happy place right now, Matt. He was putting up, real solid numbers. I think he was like around 16-9, starting to get his feel. He was on a vegan diet, saying, he told me on the podcast he was trying to shed weight before the postseason started, and so he was, and when you think about DeMarcus Cousins, it's rarely you hear about him. And dietary methods of, trying to keep his body fresh and in shape. And, he was talking about that. And to see him go down like that, man, I feel for him. I don't have a rooting interest for any team, but you definitely feel for people when they're trying to put their all into the game and do what's best for the team. And, he's going to be a free agent or something. The plan all along was to try to capitalize on the time that he was here at Golden State and try to get out there and get as much money as he can. And hopefully he still can, Jim. But that was a tough blow, man. And I definitely feel for him because it felt like, and I urge people to listen to that too. It sounds like a much more mature DeMarcus Cousins. And it was just a sad case.
Bad blow to be sure. He's a senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports, host of the Post It Up with Chris Haynes podcast. Again, the Pride of Fresno, friend of the program, my guest, Chris Haynes. Chris, I appreciate it, man. Good to run you down. Thank you very much.
Hey, Jim. Hey, before I get off, man, I would love to have you on the podcast, man. So I want to just put that out there for everybody.
I'll do that. Least I could do. You got it, my man. We'll do that. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
All right, talk to you soon. Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. All right, your thoughts on that. And DeMarcus Cousins, that's a bad, bad blow for him. Because not only was he going to play meaningful time in the postseason, the first time he had done that, but he was trying to set himself up for a new free agent deal, and he gets hurt again. Andrew Bogut rolls in like he hadn't missed a beat at all. Still ahead in studio, LA Angels outfielder Brian Goodwin. That's coming up next. So if you Angel fans want to get in, go ahead and do it. Alvy's week that was, or 4 days that were, at the bottom of the hour. Do not forget to thank the real pros this Mother's Day. Like, as an example, where would you be without your mom? Where would you be without the mother of your children? This is not an easy gig. Pro Flowers lets you choose from a variety of bouquets and unique vases that suit every mom's style. So you can hook mom up. Let mom know how important you think she is. Thank mom for the work she does. All you have to do is find Pro Flowers and then select the delivery date that you want. Pro Flowers carefully packages your flowers and delivers them fresh right from the farm. And express delivery means the flowers will stay fresh. Right now, get one dozen assorted roses for $19.99, or you can double the roses and get a premium vase for only $9.99 more. Visit proflowers.com. Click the microphone. It's in the upper right-hand corner. Find that and then enter my code name, Rome. Proflowers.com. Find the mic, click it, and type in the code Rome. Mother's Day is May 12th. Do not miss out. Get it off your list. Get it done right now. Order like a pro and get this amazing rose deal to thank all of the moms in your life. Proflowers.com. Click the microphone. Hit code Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back in Southern California. I'm Jim Rome. You know how we do this. Whenever we can get somebody in studio, we'll do exactly that. We are joined right now by an outfielder for the LA Angels. He is having a big season, hitting .321. He's got 4 home runs, 11 runs batted in on the season. He is top 10 in the American League in batting average and OPS. He was a first-round pick by Washington back in 2011. The Angels are right there. They're 4 games out of first in the AL West. They're at home tonight against Toronto. Brian Goodwin is my guest, and he is in studio. Brian, my man, good to see you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, man. Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's really good to have you. Listen, you've got a great backstory, which we'll get into, but how about that SoCal lifestyle? How you like living out here and working out here?
It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. It's not much not to like, really. The weather's great. The atmosphere is wonderful. Y'all been showing me a little hospitality, man. You got beaches everywhere and shopping everywhere. Can't beat it.
Man, you know what's up. You know what's up. My man knows what's up. And it also helps when the team is playing well. So you beat Toronto last night. You've now won 5 of your last 6. Team got kind of off to a slow start, but you're playing really well right now. You've got a chance to finish that sweep this evening. What's the vibe like around the club and the fact that you guys keep finding ways to win?
That's just it. Everybody is just, we know we can win. We know we will win. And everybody's just super confident. I guess... I don't know. I'm just getting here, so I'm brand new. But the vibe is like we go into every game thinking we're going to win. And everybody goes out and they play their tails off. And everybody's got each other's backs. When you have people doing that and going all out for each other, I mean, it's just a good situation.
Hey, listen, the thing about chemistry, right? People like to talk about, man, that's so overrated. It doesn't mean anything. It seems to me the guys who think the chemistry doesn't matter play on teams where there is no chemistry, right? I mean, guys picking each other up is a real thing.
It's huge. It's huge.
Now, yeah, as part of finding ways to win, though, Brian Goodwin in studio, you came up in the bottom of the 8th with a score tied at 3 on Tuesday night. What was your approach going into that at bat?
Against a guy like that, they hadn't. You just have to know how they're going to attack you. I think you gotta have a plan before you even go to the plate. So, and I got a good idea what they were trying to do to me the whole game. So by the time I got to my last AB, I kind of knew what to look for and what I was looking for and what they were gonna do with the guy that they had on the mound, and they just so happened to do it right by the book and
right.
Caught him.
So, you know, I was going to say, when you know it's coming, you can catch one, and you got a hold of it. You went to deep right center for the go-ahead run, 4-3 for the win. What was that moment like for you?
It's big, man. It's big. Because, like you said, we've been riding some games, and we've been one hit away or a run away from winning some of these games that we're always in. And, you know, just get that big hit and take the lead and going into the ninth. Knowing our bullpen is solid and they come in and we got the white horse coming in and closing it down. And, so once we go up by one that late in the game, you know, you kind of feels good knowing you might have that one in the bag.
Brian Goodwin joining me in studio. We're talking Angel baseball, which I'm always happy to do. Now, you go back to last year when you were traded from Washington to Kansas City in July. Listen, you know it's business. You understand this. But what's it like when you find out you've been traded by the organization that drafted you and brought you up?
It was kind of bittersweet. It was kind of bittersweet. I say it was bitter, obviously, because of, you know, the backstory. I got drafted by those guys. Those were the first people that actually gave me a chance, I feel like. They drafted me from a baby. I remember, if you saw the pictures, I don't know, I posted on Instagram, but if you saw the pictures, man, I was baby-faced and freshly shaved. And, you know, I was just beginning to start. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But also, I wasn't in the greatest situation, and we had a lot of talent, a very talented team. And it wasn't much opportunity for playing time. So, I saw that with Kansas City. So that would be the sweet side of it, that I was looking at an opportunity to get some more playing time.
That's the biggest thing, right? So you go to Kansas City and you get off to a good start in your first 5 games, you go 8-17, you're dialed in, you're seeing the ball well, but then you suffer a groin injury and you got to go on the injured list. How frustrating was that time?
Super frustrating.
Right?
Super frustrating, yeah. You know, it was kind of punch in the gut. Like you said, you get off to a good start. That's what you want to do when you get to a new team. And, you know, you see an opportunity for more playing time, like I was getting at the time, and playing against righties, lefties, everybody, and doing pretty well. So to kind of put that momentum I had going on hold, you know, it kind of hurt a little bit.
Brian Goodwin joining me in studio. So what you do then in the offseason, it seems like you took your conditioning in the offseason to a new level. Is that true? And if so, what was the thinking? Why was that?
Oh, that's super true. And that's a lot of thanks goes to the Kansas City staff that they have, the medical staff they have over there. But a lot of the issues we were looking at were consistently happening over and over. So we had to find, you know, what it was that was going on and what we needed to change. And I think we addressed it. And, you know, once we finally put a name to it and saw exactly what it was, I just had to, you know, put in time to clean it up and make everything right.
All right. So you're doing the work in Raleigh and you come back to the point where you have single digit body fat. So what kind of workouts were you doing? And then how does it feel to see those results?
Man, they had me doing all kinds of stuff.
Like what?
The workouts were intense, man. We were just running. We were running two a day. So I was in the gym about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we would work out. My man Will Parker, he would work me out for about an hour and a half, and he'd do everything he could to push me to want to throw up by the time I left there. But after that, we would get some good work in, and then I would drive up to Durham. And I had my guy Mark Mueller up at Duke, and he was my speed guy. So I would leave straight from the weightlifting, and I go to Duke, and I hit the track for about an hour, hour and a half every day, and we just ran it for the whole off season.
So I mean, you're putting all this time in. I'm wondering, was there like a moment? Was there some kind of like soul searching that went on? For instance, I mean, you're a former first round pick, but you're getting kind of dinged up, and the injuries are accumulating. Did it kind of hit you one day? Where like, something's got to change, and if it's going to change, I have to change it myself.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think when it really hit me was in Kansas City. The first time I got there, and you know, they're looking you over and looking you up and down, and the strength coach is saying you got to come in for your weight and your body fat and stuff like that. And the whole time I'm just dreading it. Like, this is the last thing I want to do. You know, my clothes don't fit that good, and my shirts are kind of stretched out, so.
Hey, man, we've all been there, right? Like, you're just not feeling good about you, right?
Yeah, it was.
Welcome to my life,
my
man. Welcome to my life, every day, bro. Every day.
Come on, you so cow, man. Y'all out here with no shirts on, living in the sunlight.
Hell no, not me, man. I'm not taking mine off till I get some work in. But you get through that, right? And you know that you got to put the time in, you got to get the work in. At any point, did you ever lose any kind of identity as to who you were as a ball player?
I think so. I think kind of in D.C. kind of towards the end, like I said, it kind of got to the point where, you know, it's like, what am I doing here? What am I supposed to be doing? What do I need to do? Because I know that I've been playing up to this long and this isn't me. So something's got to change.
Right. So you knew you could play. You come here. And so and things are going great right now. When you get to the Angels, how did you approach that? Did you want to prove the Royals wrong or did you want to prove the Angels right?
I might have had a little chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
From the Royals. But I wouldn't say I put enough energy into the Royals to be able to say that it was about them. I think it was more so the second part of the question, that it was more to prove the Angels right.
Brian Goodwin joining me in studio. Now, after tonight's game, you've got tomorrow off, and then you're playing the Astros in Monterrey, Mexico on Saturday and Sunday. Are you looking forward to the experience, and how do you approach a road trip like that?
Oh, absolutely. I've been to Mexico one other time. I played winter ball in Mexico. I had a wonderful time. Great people over there, great fan base. It's lovely over there also, especially it'll be real nice this time of year. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, man. Getting over there and getting into the lifestyle and living it up for a couple of days.
So yeah, that'll be a fun time. I got to ask you about Mike Trout. Like Mike Trout, obviously you get asked about him a lot because he's just such a different dude. I mean, my man is so good in this community. He is so good with the kids. And you know that nobody can swing quite like this guy. What's it like to see him on a day-to-day basis, the way he approaches his work?
It's fun. It gives you that playing the game like a kid feel again. It just you can feel the energy that he brings to the park every day, and he's just excited to be there. He's excited to be there, and people that are happy like that are genuinely fun to be around. And he's just a great guy to be around and spend time with, pick his brain, and obviously you can learn a thing or two from him. So he's just a great guy. I like being around him and Albert like a ton.
Like, what do you talk to Pujols about? I mean, that's a guy who's been through everything, seen everything. That's a good guy to sit down and pick his brain. What kind of conversations do you have with him?
I keep saying he's the OG, man. You can ask that dude anything, because he can tell you about life. He can tell you about baseball, the business. He's been through every bit of it. So there's really not a question that, you know, you can't ask him.
Did he tell you to go to my man Javier and see Javier in Crystal Cove? You are now a 949 guy. Say this to everybody who comes into this town to play. Have you been to Javier's?
I have.
And what
have.
Do you think? Does it live up to the hype?
Javier's is doing something right over there.
See what I'm saying? The next person I send there that doesn't say that will be the first. He's hitting .321 on the year. He is top 10 in the American League in batting average and OPS. A former first-round pick of Washington, but doing it with the Angels. Brian, glad you came in studio, man. Glad to have you in my house, and I appreciate the visit. Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having
me.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, let's do it again soon. Glad to have you. Always good to get a guy who's in the top 10 in offensive categories in the league in studio and show up the way he did. That's Brian Goodwin. Angels playing good ball. They're four games out of first, and they're at home tonight against Toronto. All right, short timeout. We'll come right back. My thanks to Brian Goodwin. If you want to talk Angel baseball, this is your last chance. We are toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Also on the other side of this break, Alvin's 4 days that were. I'm headed on a bird to Wisconsin tonight, so I am off tomorrow, and I'll be back on Monday. Time now for Bottom of the Hour Sports. Once again, I am off. Tomorrow, Bill Ryder will be in for me. And he does a great show. He's going to hold it down. So look for that. The reason I'm off tomorrow is I'm flying to Wisconsin this evening. And looking forward to getting back there. My thanks to Brian Goodwin. Telephone number is toll-free. Phone call is coming up in a minute. If you don't have time to wax your car, it's not a problem, because new 303 touchless sealant will save you hours. It takes just minutes to apply. You simply spray on, then you rinse off, and it protects up to 2 times longer than traditional waxes. More protection and shine, less effort and time. It's available at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Alvies, 4 days that were, is coming up momentarily, but first, we go to the phones. This guy was glossed. Cakes in studio, Chinny. He's actually Beaks in Studio City, but showed up in that pick, and some of the clones thought that maybe he had a few extra LBs, and somebody glossed him, Cakes in Studio Chinny. Here he is, Beaks. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Jim, I'm doing good. Doing good, man. So, hey, how in the Lord is Sasquatch going in on Liz? Liz, really? Liz has never wanted to be in smack-off competition. Jesus, Clam, it's smack-off season, not dumbass season. The audacity of this moron, Jim. Dude, you don't even know how to play the game that you're in. How would you even hit the Bourne smack-off 25 if you can't even respond to the savagery I hit you with at the end of last year? You even said on Twitter, I'll never say Beach name on the radio. Dan, even Jeff in San Antonio thinks you're the biggest pansy in the jungle. None of us pay attention to your calls, because if you can't respond to that shot from me And I'm not even going for a ticket this year because I want to relax in a margarita-filled jacuzzi and enjoy Smack Off 25. Then how in the hell are you going to beat BIC or Left, you stupid idiot? The answer is real, real simple, and Jim knows it. Your ticket is absolutely worthless. I'm just talking facts today, Clone Nation. So let's see, has this ever happened? Has a golden ticket ever been ripped based on another clone's phone call? Maybe when I hang up, Rome will think, you know, Beaks has a really, really good point and say, Alvy, hit the chopper on Dan. Either way, everybody knows it's true. You're a damn fool, Clam in Denver, a damn one. I passed the mic 8 miles style, Dan, but we all know you just set it down. War Nooch Fest, Laguna style, and the whole crew. Ow.
All right, so Beaks is asking if I would ever rip somebody's golden ticket on the strength of another call. Maybe, but not that call. I got bad news for everybody who hates Dan in Denver. He's getting over right now. I'm not saying he's the guy to watch. I'm not saying he's the guy who's going to win that thing. Far from it. But he's getting over. He's still holding on to a golden ticket. Beaks. Or Cakes from Studio Chinny. Let's try Detroit. Johnny. Hey, Johnny, how are you?
Whoa, Jim. How do I foul Beaks into the jungle? I tell you, I probably just...
Shouldn't be that hard.
The candy that falls out of his pockets. I tell you what, right into the jungle. Jim, hey, what a huge surprise that Matt and Van called about oiled up men and guys in panties. Talk about life imitating art. Hey, Rome, do you think when Matt wakes up in the morning, rolls over and wakes Tyler up, they talk about what amazing callers they are?
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
No, John. That's not going to work for me, John. Nor is that going to work for anybody else. Dopes. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned that it's 50 days until the smack off. When Matt, never mind. Matt's called back-to-back days. Matt has got racked both days. Matt's got nothing to worry about. Matt is in the field. I can almost guarantee that Matt will get on the air if he calls that day. Dan in Denver, who so many of you hate so much, and I'm not talking you off that point, but... if you're trying to call up and get me to rip his ticket, that's not going to work either. He might lose the ticket if he makes the phone call, but the thing is, the guy's getting better, not worse. Alvy, if you're set, why don't you go ahead and roll the 4 days that were? In his 25th season, you know him, you love him, from the University of Maryland, Alvin's week that was. Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. It is great to have you here. Hope you had a good weekend. I hope your Monday's off to a good start. Nice to have you. Amazing weekend. Endgame. Game of Thrones. Game one of the Rockets Warriors. It was all happening. Hell, the biggest stars of the entire weekend were none other than Kirkland, Zarba, and Tiven. Yeah! Can't let the referees leave the show on the Monday after a weekend like that.
Durant to the basket.
I'm Kevin Durant.
And they needed every bit of that.
You know who I am.
Andrew Bogut. Andrew, so good to have you back.
You got to come out to the game in Houston.
If I can get on that Andrew Bogut jet, I might come out. You know, a beer or two after.
With Toby.
Toby. Can you get Toby to come?
Well, that's your guy. Give him a call and you can sit courtside and have a few beers. Take a few back and enjoy the game.
Larry Brown.
Email.
An email reads, who's the new guy? Bruce Willis?
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Damn, I wish. Ben Golliver is my guest.
Hey, I'm sure you want to talk about NBA officiating, but I understand you've got Joey Crawford now on your new crew. Is he your new crew member?
But it is good to have some new, shiny, happy people on staff, isn't it?
Because you didn't just make a line, you crossed a freaking line. And the only way the Browns do not make the playoffs is if there aren't playoffs this year.
What's up with that?
That ridiculously small and ill-fitting uniform in Seattle. Let's get this guy a mustard jacket in the right size because he deserves it. Damn it.
Wait a minute, he's bringing Janikowski out.
Side lays up, and Joel Embiid scores the ball.
And that's some man's game stuff right there.
Man's game.
Battling the Big E.
Equalizer.
MJ had his flu game. Joel had his poo game.
If you had
diarrhea
before, you would know how I feel.
Chase Elliott is my guest. Chase, great to have you back. How are you?
Yeah, man, you're way too nice. Way too nice. You made that sound okay.
Whoa, Sarah Jessica Parker winning the Derby!
It doesn't make any sense!
Hey, Alvin, did you want him to say that?
It's happening, you guys! It's happening!
The second you heard the name Sarah Jessica Parker, you should have been on that guy.
Jimmy, don't ever leave a snake man alone with little Alvy. He'll definitely eat him.
These motherfuckers!
snakes.
You know, I've said it before. You know, it wouldn't break my heart if the Lakers stuck forever.
Let's go to Kansas City. JJ.
Rome, thanks for the vine, man.
JJ!
Wart whiskey, being an alpha dog, and Rome.
You're not that good!
You dislocated the finger. Did that hurt?
What you think?
I'm no doctor, and I don't think I need to be a doctor to know that your finger is not supposed to have a right angle like that.
Man's game.
How about James Harden's eyes? If Steph Curry looked like he saw something from the Saw franchise, Harden was the Shining.
Barely can see.
His eyes opening were like the elevator doors opening and blood rushing out.
Kyler Murray.
Cliff Kingsbury is my guest.
To take it 80 on any play and be the fastest player on the field and then beat you dropping back all day long with touch and accuracy and poise from the pocket. And as an organization, it was just too great of a skill set to pass up.
Is it take your grandfather to work day? I don't know who's going to drop dead first. Me from the cholesterol or the new guy from the sudden dopamine rush of his first Twitter notification.
Ryan Palmer.
I'm sitting on my John Deere mowing our pasture area at this moment.
We got some grass that needed to be mowed, and when you get mama time to go mow, you go mow.
Rome, I'm putting the whole smack off field on notice. I'm cutting through everyone in the field who gets in my way, Rome. Foreign and domestic.
My guest is Mike Rupp.
There's not player. You know, I'm trying not to
freak
spoil
out
my drawers there. And so watching these guys makes you feel like it's just another game.
The new guy is not Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Sorry to disappoint. He is none of those people. Officially and formally, I introduce to you the new guy, Garrett Ritt. It's Ritt. It's Garrett Ritt. He's Ritt. It's Ritt. I can't hear you. It's Ritt. I'm off tomorrow. Today is my Friday. If I'm wearing my denim and I backed it in and Big Head Flight Deck is in the building and I heard a deck of yeah, then it must be Friday. Tim Layden joining us.
I kind of like a horse named Tacitus. Two of the three Baffert horses. And, you know, Baffert doesn't want to hear that, but that's where he is now.
Tim Layden Johnson's got to make a choice. Does he care about his health? Does he care about that heart medication? Because it's taking 5 miles an hour off his fastball and he's killing us.
Bro. You're not going to really come at a guy for taking heart medication, are you?
They're a bunch of jerks.
I'd bake for him, too.
Man, I would love to have you on the podcast. I want to just put that out there for everybody.
I'll do that. Brian Goodwin is my guest, and he is in studio.
He'd do everything he could to push me to want to throw up. So cow, man. Y'all out here with no shirts.
Nah, we all love the Red Sox.
Love in the box for being Greg Louganis.
Don't tase me, bro.
You know,
fan smack.
Anytime, Jim. Thanks, buddy.
In market, on topic.
Told me to ask you about Toby from Houston.
Nice.
Just stupid idiot.
Sierra Miss.
Javier's doing something right over there.
Robert Dasmati calling it a day. He's walking off on it.
Peace.
Good night now.
Alvies, 4 days that were. All right, so he's strung together content from 4 days. This guy in line number four has been on hold for the better part of 6 weeks. I said 6 weeks. I've got time. Why not? Let's go to Parody Larry. He has been waiting for 6 weeks. Go ahead, Lawrence. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good.
So listen, I've been watching the latest Newt Stoner scopes, and it looks like he's having a blast with all the jungle legends in SoCal. Silk Ryan and his sweet wife, Jen, served him up some choice charcuterie and Chardonnay, while Matt brought some bologna and Boone's Farm. So for all you guys down in SoCal who are treating him good, this for you. Newt was born in a barn somewhere in Arkansas. Started smoking weed at the tender age of 4. Now he drove his rig to Cali just to hang with Leff and Shay. Even Rich and Benton let him in the door. When he first looked at the ocean, his bong was far away. Left it home, so instead he brought his wife. Silk gave him Snoop Dogg's papers, now he's rolling up a J. You might say the Newt is living the high life. At the California clone stock, he will fly. Saw Randall Matt straight fire in the sky.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Larry, you lasted about 5 minutes longer than you should have. I'm looking at Alvin like, Alvin, I gave you the authority. In fact, I never even run guys myself anymore. Alvin does it. So I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. Like, what were you hearing? What were you enjoying about that, Alvin? Dude, what? Well, Larry, I think he felt badly for you.
Give me back my son.
Alvin thought, man, the poor dude's been on hold 6 weeks. It's your Friday, Rome. Just let him go. Larry, do me a favor. Next time, make it 6 months or 6 years or never again. Mike D for three tweets. Did Feast just say that he was going to be enjoying the smack off in a jacuzzi made of margaritas? I think that he did, Mike. I think that Feast did say that. TFP Will E tweets, Beaks looks like fat Dirty John.
Fat.
I guess a little, maybe. Beaks, a fat Dirty John, or cakes from Studio Chinny. Already? We're done?
No.
I want to thank everybody who made this amazing show possible today. Tim Layden, Chris Haynes, Brian Goodwin in studio. Huge call sponsored by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal. Feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. I am off tomorrow. Bill Ryder will be here in studio. I'm headed to Wisconsin this evening. I'll be back on Monday. Thank you for listening. Have an amazing weekend, and I will see you then.